D translated some of it, but in an absent fashion. More and more he was conversing with Juan and ignoring Bobby, the other corner boys, and boys were what they really were, Bobby saw. Drew close and added their own contributions. Bobby couldn't understand their talk, but he thought they were scared, all of them. They were tough enough guys. Down here you had to be tough just to make it through the day, but the low man had frightened them all the same. Bobby caught one final clear image, a tall, striding figure in a calf-length mustard-colored coat, the kind of coat men sometimes wore in movies like Gunfight at the OK Corral and the Magnificent Seven.
I see four of them coming out of that barbershop with the horse parlor in the back,
the one who seemed to be named Filio said.
That's what they do, those guys. Go into places and ask questions. Always leave one of their big cars running at the curb. You'd think it'd be crazy to do that down here, leave a car running at the curb, but who'd steal one of those goddamn things?
No one, Bobby knew. If you tried, the steering wheel might turn into a snake and strangle you. The seat might turn into a quicksand pool and drown you.
They come out all in a bunch, Filio went on, all wearing those long yellow coats, even though the day's so hot you could fry the egg on the fucking sidewalk. They was all wearing those nice white shoes, sharp. You know, I always notice what people got on their feet. I get hard for that shit. And I don't think...
He paused, gathering himself, and said something to Dee in Spanish. Bobby asked what he'd said.
He's saying their shoes wasn't touching the ground.
Juan replied. His eyes were big. There was no scorn or disbelief in them.
He's saying they got this big red Chrysler, and when they go back to it, their fucking shoes ain't quite touching the ground.
Juan forked two fingers in front of his mouth, spat through them, then crossed himself. No one said anything for a moment or two after that. And then Dee bent gravely over Bobby again.
These are the guys looking for your friend.
That's right, Bobby said. I have to warn him.
He had a mad idea that Dee would offer to go with him to the corner pocket, and then the rest of the Diablos would join in. They would walk up the street, snapping their fingers in unison like the Jets in West Side Story. They would be his friends now, gang guys who happened to have really good hearts.
Of course, nothing of the sort happened. What happened was Mosso wandered off back toward the place where Bobby had walked into him. The others followed. Juan paused long enough to say,
"You run into those caballeros and you're going to be one dead putino, tio mio."
Only Dee was left, and Dee said, "He's right. You all go back to your own part of the world, my friend. Let your amigo take care of himself." "I can't," Bobby said, and then, with genuine curiosity, "Could you?"
"Not against ordinary guys, maybe, but these ain't ordinary guys. Was you just listen?"
"Yes," Bobby said, "but you crazy little boy, poco loco." I guess so. He felt crazy, all right, poco loco and then some. Crazy as a shithouse mouse, his mother would have said. Dee started away, and Bobby felt his heart cramp. The big boy got to the corner. His buddies were waiting for him on the other side of the street, then wheeled back, made his finger into a gun, and pointed it at Bobby. Bobby grinned and pointed his own back.
"Vaya con Dios, mi amigo loco,"
Dee said, then sauntered across the street with the collar of his gang jacket turned up against the back of his neck. Bobby turned the other way and started walking again, detouring around the pools of light cast by fizzing neon signs and trying to keep in the shadows as much as he could.